This was a nightmare.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
this that now that what the words we're actually speaking to each other now are actually part of the podcast. Hi, everybody. This is episode 2 of the Dad Podcast. We're canning this. We're recording it before we have any feedback from episode 1. We actually just tweeted a link to episode 1. So this may never see the light of day.
When we were recording last time, my roommate was downstairs, and he said he heard a lot of it, and he said it was actually, he thought it was pretty good.
Oh, that's exciting.
He said after we lost the internet, which, spoiler alert, Cam loses me for a couple seconds in episode 1, he said that we lost some chemistry after that, but he said it was still pretty good.
Man, we were on a roll, and then it just like, it's like, no, screw you. More difficulties. Yeah. We're recording this right now on a brand new application called Audio Hijack.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. I paid a lot of money for this program.
he did. I was here. So, we're an hour 45 into our call, and we've been recording for a solid 2 to 3 minutes.
Holy God in heaven.
So that is how this process has been tonight. Yeah.
Every time we try to record this dang podcast, something goes wrong and something is horrible, but like, you know what? This time I actually had alcohol to deal with it.
Yeah. I'm not drinking in the month of September, though, so.
I took 4 shots of UV Blue vodka.
Nice.
This episode is brought to you by UV Blue Vodka. Do you want to get mad for no reason? Do you want to feel real bad tomorrow morning, but you also want to hit on your cousins right now? Drink UV Blue Vodka.
Maybe even hit on your sister. Yeah. You never know.
We got that sponsor spot. Drink UV Blue.
You'd be surprised.
That's their tagline. UV Blue. You'd be surprised who you hit on.
UV Blue. It's called blue because you hit on so many girls that your testicles turn blue.
UV Blue. Let's think about those repressed sexual thoughts.
UV Blue. Do you have an Oedipus complex? Don't fucking drink. It will not end well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're learning. We're learning how to riff, huh?
We are learning how to riff. I don't want to lose that chemistry.
Yeah. It's going all right. Okay, so what are our topics for today, Cam? You got anything?
I do, Chad. I actually wanted to kind of try to keep this one linear.
Okay.
But before that, let's completely blow linear out of the water and get that out of the equation, because I saw a video of a live water birth on Facebook, and I just want to know, why did I see that?
Facebook is turning, it's just, Facebook has become the weird part of YouTube.
It is the weird part of YouTube. Like, I get it. Like, you do you. You birth the way you want to. I'm not trying to say that the miracle of childbirth is disgusting in any way. But I don't go out of my way to see water births. So I'm just trying to keep up on my ex. I'm just kidding. I wasn't stalking anybody in particular. I was just scrolling through my damn news feed, and I saw a video of a live water birth. And like, I started at first because they bait you because it's a woman in a bikini.
Wait.
What?
Was it actually a live water birth?
Yes, dude. Listen.
Like, they were live streaming it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was a pre-recorded video.
Okay, because I was like, wow, that takes some balls.
Yeah.
Or some vaginas, I guess.
Well, you know, 9 months earlier, it took some balls.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm literally just scrolling through Facebook, and they bait you because my human boy mind stopped as soon as I saw an attractive woman in a bikini, and the way the camera was angled, I couldn't tell she was pregnant. But then, literally within split seconds, I realized she's in a swimming pool, like a kiddie pool. In the living room.
Ew.
She's got her hand down by her crotch area. And then, like, I go, oh, no, I know exactly what this is. And sure enough, like, there's no prep. It's, like, maybe 4 seconds into the video by this point. And a gush of red, just a red cloud.
Oh, no.
And the birthing begins.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, I couldn't look away. I could not look away.
I think you could have.
I know. I watched half of the video. I think the only thing I missed was when they brought the baby out of the water and cut its freaking cord.
Isn't that weird? Do you think that hurts?
The umbilical cord? Getting your umbilical cord cut?
Oh, I guess it's not. It's not.
I don't remember it.
Is the umbilical cord part of both of you?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, does that hurt the mom?
Are there nerve endings in the umbilical cord?
These are all good questions. We'll have to revisit.
You know what? I actually have a cousin who performs home births.
Oh, does home birth. Okay.
And maybe that's why the video was there. Maybe she shared a video and was like, look what I do. Maybe it was her. Maybe she... Then, maybe. But regardless...
Here's the thing. Even if that's what you do, sometimes people don't want to know what you do.
Yeah.
There comes a point where it's kind of like, just keep it to yourself. You know, like it's...
Yeah. Like if I'm a grave digger, I'm not broadcasting on Facebook Live 45 minutes of me digging 6 feet under.
Yeah. Okay, one, it takes more than 45 minutes, but well, it's okay.
Unless you're good at it.
Yeah. Unless you're like zero at digging.
Well, then
the hole.
I might watch that Facebook video.
Unless you're Shia LaBeouf, you know, you're not super good at digging holes, right? Do it.
I love that reference. Thank you.
That's my best. That's my favorite movie.
That's a great movie. I think that's perfectly fine to be your favorite.
Well, it's okay. So like, Holes isn't like my favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite movie.
I get it. Favorite is thrown around a lot.
Yeah, but I could watch Holes. Like, Holes would be like a desert island movie for me.
Yeah, I
could. I would watch that forever.
Yeah. I mean, if you're on a desert island, you don't want to be watching Castaway. That's rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah. No, that would be... Oh, and that would just... Oh, man. Watching Castaway on a desert island, one, would be like Inception, which is funny. Yeah,
that's super
movie.
Meta.
Yeah. But it would be like... it would maybe give you false hope, and then you'd be like, oh, wait, this is a movie, and this is real life, and I'm stuck on a desert island. Even though it's supposedly based on a true story.
What?
Yeah, Castaway, yeah, based on a true story.
What?
Yes, it's... let me Google this.
Hold on, how did I not know that? I mean, granted, I just watched it like a couple years ago, but what?
Okay. Wait,
there was a man on an island for that long?
Yeah.
He lived?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I thought it was just a creative story.
No, it is. Well, okay, this is... I'm pretty sure it's based on a true story.
That's terrible.
And if it's not, like, that's happened, like, where people...
Well, yeah, but, like, a lot of crap went down on that island.
I don't even remember what went down. He just tried to start a fire for like an hour. That's all I remember.
Oh, wait, you're right. I was combining Castaway with Lord of the Flies.
Oh, I thought you were combining it with like Captain Phillips or whatever. Like,
oh, yeah.
Most recent.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And he also landed the plane and got himself stuck on that island.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be in that new movie.
13 surprising facts about Castaway. Tom, screenwriter stranded himself on an island for research purposes. Okay, nope.
What?
FedEx was cool with the free product placement. Tom Hanks almost died. None of this is telling me that it's based on a true story.
I'm going to pretend that it is.
The movie led to the creation of Lost. Huh.
Wow.
Hey,
if you're aware that this is a true story, let us know in the comments down below.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess since we're uploading to SoundCloud currently, that is a thing that can happen.
Boom. Suck my dick, Chad.
So now we have comments. speaking of comments, this article I'm on for this article I'm reading, these like 13 facts about Castaway on. The first and only comment is, it says two words, Gilligan's Island. Why? It's just another show with an island, like people on an island. That's all. Like,
yeah. That's, oh my gosh.
To learn from Gilligan's Island.
There were like eight people on Gilligan's Island. The professor, Marianne. No, Tom Hanks only had a gosh darn volleyball.
Yeah, and he named it Wilson, which is like, could he not? Okay, here's how can you. If you just call it Wilson because that's like the brand, right?
Yeah, it was printed on the side of the ball.
That's just so unoriginal.
Well, that's his name. He thought that was his name. It's like a name tag, basically. You don't, you're not going to call a person wearing a name tag that says, hello, my name is Frank. You're not going to call him Todd.
Okay, but it's not like it's not about that. It's like was Tom Hanks so out of it? I can't even think. Delusional? I don't know. That he was just like, did he think that ball was a person?
Yeah, he like pricked his finger or whatever and drew a face on it with blood.
Well, yeah, but I thought that, like, okay, so this is the way I understood that.
Excuse me, sorry.
This is disgusting. But literally the last time I watched this movie all the way through, I think I was 12. So solid half of my life ago, 12 years ago, I watched
Holy
this
movie. God.
Yeah. Anyway, and my dad loves Tom Hanks, but that's beside the point. Okay, and so last time I watched this movie, so what I understood it as was like he was talking to Wilson to keep himself sane, but like obviously he knew it's just a ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he eventually kind of slid down a slope of insanity and really believe that Wilson was a living thing.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Yeah.
Again, when he lost Wilson in the ocean, he was, like, freaking out.
Yeah, that was the impression that I got.
Okay, well, yeah, that's...
So...
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe originally it wouldn't have made... Like, he could have been a little more creative and named him something else.
Yeah, like, I mean, even just, like, Josh.
Yeah, but down the road, when he did get insane... He would have seen Wilson on the side of it. And I don't know. Maybe. I had to run and grab a charger. For all of you listeners out there, my computer was about to die. And that would have just put the nail in the coffin for me on this entire thing.
Yeah. And we've had some really good combos, so I think that would have sucked.
Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
I wish I would have been recording the entire hour and a half before we even started this damn episode.
No,
because we're talking some of the things we said were good.
Like what? As you
I can't remember. I'm drunk. I also went and grabbed another beer.
You actually drunk?
Yeah, I actually am. I realized it when I got up to go get the charger. You know when you sit in one place for a long time while you're drinking, and then you stand up and you're like,
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been there back in the day.
Are you drunk right now to get through this podcast? Let us know in the comments down below. So, Chad, like I said, I wanted this episode to kind of have a theme. At least let's try to be professional podcasters. I want to talk about DIY music.
Well,
for all of you listeners out there, most of you probably know us a little bit. Most of you probably know Chad a lot more than me. But we're both music boys.
Oh, yeah, we do that.
We're both boys that do music. And Chad recently had, what was it, an Indiegogo or a GoFundMe?
Indiegogo.
An Indiegogo campaign that went really well. It went exactly the way he wanted it to go, which is really cool because I think supporting local music and supporting your friends is a really good thing to do. Supporting any art, you know, not just music. But Chad had an Indiegogo, And Chad, you're going to be recording an EP soon, and that's super exciting. And I just wanted to talk to you about this anyway, so I'm just going to talk to you about it here on the podcast. But, like, tell me more about it. Who's helping you with it? What it's going to be like? When it's going to come out? Like, you know, people are actually, like, people are interested and want to know because they paid you and they backed you and they want it now. But just tell me about your EP first, and then we'll get into, like, some of the other stuff, like, with your music and how you got started and everything. I just want to know. I'm just curious.
What about it? Okay, so I have been writing music for a long time, like, since I'm 24, since, like, I was 16, so 8 years, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah, I was, like, I went to church, and I was in, like, the worship band, and I just sang, and I was like, man, this is lame. Like, I really need to learn an instrument, so I picked up piano, started playing guitar when I was, like, 16, and then started writing. Like, out of, like, playing those instruments came, like, my own kind of expression through writing songs. And generally, they sucked. So I was like, I'll probably, like, never really do anything. But, like, you know, with anything, like, with any kind of art, like, there really is a practice to it. And, like, even with songwriting, like, people think it's just natural. You're just naturally good at lyrics and things like that. And you're not. Like, I mean, like, some people are, but right. It's, like, part of it is just doing it. Yeah. And so, like, I kept writing through college and stuff. And then, like, I started to think, oh, this is, like, it's not all bad. Like, I think I'm writing songs I'm actually proud of.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I mean, like, I graduated college in December. And I said, I don't have a job. We moved to Indy in February, and I didn't have a job until May. And so, like, during that time, I was like, well, I might as well do something with this free time. So I talked to one of my friends, Anderson, and, like, we got an Indiegogo up, and we raised the money. And I think we started it in April, and then we had raised it by early May.
How much money did you ask?
It was $1,500.
Cool.
So
that's really good.
Yeah, I had to be annoying on social media. Like, hey, I know, you know, like, you're like, oh, well, I'll give eventually, but you really just should do it.
Yeah.
So, like.
Did it tell you how many donors you had?
I can honestly just pull it up. I think it was, like, 52 backers, maybe.
Wow, that's really cool.
That might be way too many.
52, like, I mean, if you divide 1,500 by 52, that's a good amount of money from 52 people.
Yeah.
Also, sorry to put you on the spot like this on this podcast, yeah. But I'm just curious, man. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm one of those backers.
Yeah. And so basically we met in late May after we had the money, and we started to – this is not letting me – log in, and we started to like just demo things out and like kind of like pick which songs would be on and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just like the start of the recording process, but we didn't really record,
right? Like pre-production.
Pre-production, exactly, those are the words that Anderson used. And we just 2 weekends ago, we did some scratch tracks. So, like,
nice.
We've got my friend Mike's gonna drum, and he's like really, really good studio drummer. He's a good drummer, but like, he's really good in studio too.
Right.
So, like, we'll be. It should be. I mean, like, in the beginning, I said summer, and then Anderson's like, "You have a job. There's no way it's gonna happen." So I changed it to like early to mid fall. And so, like, it should be, I'm thinking it'll be done if I meet, like, there's not a ton more other than, like, a couple more days of, like, recording.
Yeah.
And that could be, like two sessions that are, like, all day.
Right.
And so, I mean, it could be out as soon as, like, late October, early November, somewhere around there.
Okay, cool.
Which is, like, yeah, it took way longer than I thought I was going to, but actually, like, pretty excited about it. Like, I
good.
Am proud of, like, the music. I did listen to scratch tracks, and, like, I've never recorded before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so, like, there was a... Like, I was really flat on one of the songs. And I was like, what the heck? Like, because I listened to the demo, and I'm like, I'm not flat on the demo. Like, I just must not have, like, heard it super well. And so, like, that made me a little bit, like, feeling... I was like, well, when Mike listens to these, he's going to be like, oh, these songs suck. You know what I mean? But, you know, all in all, yeah, it's exciting. It's going to happen. It's coming. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's weird to, like, actually, like, you got to be vulnerable, you know, and, like,
absolutely.
Put your music out, and, like, that's happening. So it's kind of, it's a little crazy.
Well, good for you, man.
57 backers, I just checked.
Nice, 57 backers. That's really rad. Dude, I'm excited for you. Like, I mean, I remember when I got my very first demo done, I paid $1,500. And you heard it. It was bad. So I'm glad that you have someone who knows what they're doing with your $1,500. That's crucial.
True. And, we're actually, we're, like, getting it mastered by a guy who's, like, worked, like, with, do you know John Mark McMillan?
Yes.
He's, like, done his albums.
Oh, wow.
And Anderson has, like, he had, like, an internship with that guy. And so, that's the guy who's mastering. And it's, like.
That's really cool.
Super discounted, like, a couple $100 or something.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I've been waiting for you to get something, like, down that I could buy for a long time. And I know a lot of people feel that way, too. And it's because I've seen you, like, perform live and stuff all the way back in the days when you would sing Pepper.
That, so many people wanted that on, and I was like,
I did, too, honestly.
I was like, yeah, I mean, like, it'd be funny, but, like, this, I don't want to be funny, you know? Like,
you should make it, like, a homemade acoustic bonus track. Like, you just record it on your phone and slap it on the end of that album.
I actually, Anderson and I did talk about, like, because one, so, like, four are going to be full band for the track. It's five songs.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah, four are going to be full band, and then...
And full band to you means, like, drum, guitar, vocals, bass?
Yeah, the whole shenanigans.
Maybe some keys?
That's not the word. Yeah, maybe some kind of synth or something. We'll see. I mean, like, that's something that I could do, and if I think it adds, then I would probably do that.
Give someone a reference as far as, like, genre or a couple bands that you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's so shitty to do.
No,
like,
I know what you
mean. My songs sound exactly like Journey, and it's awesome. No, they don't. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, just a frame of reference.
Yeah, so I really like emo music, and I know when people hear the term emo, they're gonna think, like, My Chemical Romance.
Right. I think of Death Cab for Cutie, honestly.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good. So not a lot of people probably know American Football. It won't sound like American Football.
Okay.
But Manchester Orchestra is kind of like that kind of
band.
Like, their newest album, Cope, is, like, kind of what I'm envisioning.
Okay.
Like, really kind of, like, just, like, rocky, I guess.
Right.
But, like, when you say rock, it just sounds generic, but, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's
right. Kind of like, you know, genres are so stupid nowadays. Like, you know, that alternative singer-songwriter progressive rock.
Like a brand new...
Yeah.
Devil and God Are Raging Inside of Me mixed with, like, a Manchester Orchestra Cope kind of is like what I envision it'll sound like.
Right.
Really, really, like, driven music, like, kind of like a lot of, like, heavy drums, like toms and bass and things like that.
Right.
Or what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I've heard the demos, and that's, you know, that's the vibe that I got from them too. Like, the demos that you sent me, like, on Dropbox were just like, acoustic, you and your guitar on a phone, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what my brain added.
Yeah, man. I'm really looking forward to hearing it full band, because I don't even know what. it'll sound like in my mind yet. You know?
Yeah, that's the coolest part. Like, for me, I moved down here, and, like, I've never been in a band. Like, I mean, I played one show with a couple of friends, but, like, I've never been in a band, so, like, everything that I've done has been, like, you know, by myself, like, either acoustic or, like, I record some of the instruments. I don't play everything super well, just enough. And, I took mine into a studio, and then I had a session musicians do it. And I was like, this is kind of what I want it to sound like. And they're like, okay. And then, like, you know, 4 minutes later, they had the final product. And, like, that's the coolest part, is to hear, like, what really, you know, cool musicians hear your idea and just flesh it out for you.
Yeah. And that's – I'm really looking forward to, like, working with those kinds of people. And I have some friends who are really, really good at, like, guitar and stuff. And I'd love to play on it and just, like – work their freaking magic. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I kind of like, I'm thinking like a little distortion, a little like chugging, like chuggy, you know, like for like this song, and like then they'll just do it, and I know it'll be like kick ass, like, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I can't wait. What's the weirdest gig? What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you while you've been playing live? Do you have a story? Because I have one, but I want to hear what yours would be.
Yeah, I do. I did, like, so I went to school at Indiana Wesleyan, for those of, if we would have anybody who would know that. Like,
anyone who's listening right now, actually.
Yeah. If, if we actually do have some kind of listener that's not from, like, an immediate family or something. I went to school in it was a small Christian school in Indiana called Indiana Wesleyan University. And they had this thing called Crema, where, like, so they have a coffee shop in the student center. And every other Wednesday, they would do, like, a show where, like, just, like, a local musician or, like, a student would just, like, play some music. And usually it was, like, super chill, and people would do, like, their own music.
Right.
But I would just always do that and play covers, and then, like, throw in a song or two near the end.
Which you do.
Which is, like, yeah, which I guess is what most people do. Like, you just, because that's how you get people to be like, oh, this guy's good. And then you're like, I also write my own music. Do you want to hear it? And they're like, not really. And you're like, oh, well, I'm going to play songs.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then sometimes people are like, they'll come up to you after and they're like, hey, that's pretty good. And you're like, thanks.
I came up to you and I touched you inappropriately. After a crema.
Yeah. Yeah. You went to a couple, actually.
I did, actually.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
But the weirdest thing, I, like, had an erection once.
What?
Well, it just happened. I don't know.
Just while you were playing, you're like, man, I'm so good. I'm killing it right now. Oh, no, boy. Whoops.
It was more like, it was literally, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. like my freshman year of college.
Uh-huh.
It's my first semester. It's like November, so I've been there for like a couple months. And I'm like, my friend Devin was like, he ran Crema. And he's like, you want to do a Crema? And I was like, sure. So I did a Crema. My friend Bryce, who shout out to Bryce, he always comments on my Facebook statuses. He is alt-right.
I have seen those conversations.
Yeah, so that anytime I post anything that's like not conservative, Bryce is like, actually, you're wrong, and black people should stay in their place. That's what he says. That's not what I feel.
Oh, hell.
Okay, anyway, that's okay.
That's
sorry.
A different podcast.
So I played with that guy, though, who's actually a really good musician, and I do
Rad.
Like him.
Yeah.
It's just fun to joke about our different political views. Anyway, and so, like, we're playing, and I'm just playing a song. I'm, like, sitting on a stool, and I thought to myself, man, I hope I don't get a boner. And it was literally, like, just like I thought about it too much.
Yeah.
Because like
your brain's
then,
like boner? Then I oh, here you go.
Yeah. I could not stop thinking about it. Like the entire like set. And we played like 8 songs, you know, and that's like a half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, so I had a boner for like a song and a half.
Oh my god.
But it was like I was sitting.
Yeah. So
it was really easy. Car, like it was really easily concealed.
Oh
but
my
it just
god.
Felt weird. I was like, I hope nobody notices.
Rogue
but
performance
no one was like,
boner.
Yeah, no one was like, hey, dude, nice dick up there. So I don't think anybody noticed.
That's amazing. One time, this is my weirdest story. Do you mind if I share it?
Oh, go ahead. Absolutely.
All right. One time, I used to perform every now and then, like at different shops in Wabash, Indiana, where I worked. Every now and then I would play at like bookstores or like coffee shops. And there's a business downtown. I'm not going to say what it is or who asked me to perform there, but they were having kind of a party for like a downtown event that happened in Wabash. And, the owner invited me to play during the event, like at his shop. And I was like, yeah, totally. That's fine. He offered to pay me $75. To play for like 2 hours. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Like getting paid to play songs is the dream, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. You know, like I never expect anything anyway. Like I don't care. I just like to, you know, be stupid and play my dang songs. Like it's so cringy to think about, but like, cause like every gig I've pretty much played in Wabash, outside of like, I've played a couple where like people go to listen to music, but most of the gigs I've ever played, I'm background noise. You know what I mean? Like I'm there just playing and people are trying to go about their days and I try not to suck so bad that they like leave.
That they stop and they're like, what is going on over here? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't ever expect to be playing and someone to stop and go, wow, that guy's really good. I just hope that I play well enough that they don't stop and go, what the fuck? So I go to this shop and it's really weird. Like the way they set it up, they like rented the building next to them for like an eating space. And so the way Wabash is set up, a lot of the stores on the streets have like windows that look in.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing in that window display as the stage, but my back is to the window because I'm essentially playing to the people inside that room. So anyone on the street walking by sees the back of me. So it's kind of like Broadway in Nashville a little bit, but like nothing like Broadway in Nashville.
Yeah.
So that's weird part number one. And number two was everyone that came to that event was in the other room of the shop. So literally for most of my set, I'm playing to a person who's with a charity and has a table set up in the back. The woman who brought finger foods and was giving them out and then also giving out like stickers. And like my dad and a girl 2 years younger than me from my high school and her mom stopped by and like started talking to my dad. She was there and like we aren't really great friends at all. So it was just awkward. But anyway, so like I'm just literally singing a mix. Just it's me and a guitar through a Bose system. I'm singing a couple of originals. Well, like a lot of originals at that point, but then a few covers.
Yeah.
And so literally I'm singing to, this is probably the busiest part of the night. There's like four old people sitting down eating these finger foods. My dad, that girl and her mom, the cook, the charity person, and then the guy who hired me comes in. And so I'm up. So it's like nine people. So I'm up there, which that's weird in itself. But like I'm up there and I'm singing Mr. Brightside by the Killers.
Nice.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, play that song in your head right now. And when you get to the chorus, this is what happened. The guy who hired me was directly off to the side of me and is lit, wasted off of his ass, just drunk out of his mind. And he doesn't know the song I'm singing. He does not know it at all. But this is what he did during the chorus. He started trying to add harmony to me singing, not up on stage with me, like not into the mic, nothing. He's off to the side with the like champagne in his hand. And this is what it sounds like. So listen in your head to the chorus of Mr. Brightside by the Killers. And then this is what he was adding.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. He didn't know the song. And he's adding harmony.
That's not even harmony. That's
no,
just,
it wasn't harmony.
It was like yeah. Shouting.
He yeah, he was just shouting. And he was like...
He's trying to do the Gregorian chant on you.
Yeah, and so afterwards he comes up to me, because that was like almost my last song. So I play a couple more, and I'm starting to clean up, and he's like, man, that was so fun. You were so great, and like, did you like what I was doing there on those last ones? Like, man, I think, like, if you ever come back here, if you ever want to, like, I've got a couple songs you could learn. We could sing them together and be a good time, and I think we should do that. I go, yeah, man, it was awesome. Thanks so much for having me. And then he's like, oh, all right, hold on. So, you know, like, if you're going to start doing this more, you need some, like, professional headshots. And I go, yeah, probably. And he goes, well, I've got a camera here. I'm going to take some headshots of you.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, he hasn't paid me yet. So I'm like, okay. So I follow him out to the alley, and I'm standing beside his building. My dad's there just, like, trying not to laugh really hard. And he's, like, having me pose with my guitar really weird. And he's, like, taking pictures on his Nikon. Like, it's a nice camera, but I'm like, what is going on right now? But he hadn't paid me yet, so I couldn't leave.
Yeah. That's
and so I let him take pictures of me that he didn't email to me for, like, a month later, because he probably had no idea he was taking these pictures. So like the entire night was just weird, and I loved it, and I thought it was so funny. But when I left, he's like, all right, so now I gotta pay you, right? And I was like, I mean, that'd be cool. And he goes, he just grabs a wad of money out of his breast pocket in his blazer or whatever, and he hands it to me, and like, I don't count it in front of him, obviously, but I walk out, and I'm like taking my stuff back to my car, and my dad's with me, and he's like, how much did he pay you? And I was like, well, it was a $75 gig, and I counted the money, and he gave me $150.
Nice.
Yeah. He paid me double for playing for 2 hours to, at one time, at most, 9 people.
Yeah.
It was the most bizarre live gig I've ever done in my life. And I got free headshots out of it, and they're all terrible.
Yeah, I can't imagine they were that good.
No, they were pretty bad. Okay. But yeah, that's just some fun stuff about DIY music. When you have to do it yourself. We make albums, we get funded by people, we play really weird gigs, and we get boners on stage.
Yeah, so update on our podcast that I tweeted.
Yeah.
We have 14 media listens, baby.
Boom.
Out of 121 impressions, that is more than 10%.
That's pretty good.
That's maybe 11%.
From the time that this episode was recorded, we actually have at least 14 people listening to the first episode. I hope they all send us emails.
That may have listened to, they at least listened to a section of it.
Yeah, they at least hit play. We don't know if they stayed for the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't. Let's be honest. It was 40 minutes long.
Probably like, not, yeah. And this one's going to be another, like, 45-minute episode.
Yeah, which is, like, most podcasts are, like, an hour.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we're definitely a poo cast.
Yeah, Pete Holmes does two and a half hours, just conversation.
Yeah.
And I listen to the whole thing over time.
But... Oh, my gosh. I'm a slut for podcasts.
Oh, yeah. I love podcasts. Yeah, that's honestly why I wanted to do one was...
Because I get it.
Yeah. Like, I just really... I mean, and it's kind of like we've lost the art of, like, talking on the phone, and it's kind of just like a long phone conversation.
Yeah. Like, this is fun for me because I get to actually talk to you.
Yeah. It's good because...
Even though we're funny at texting each other.
Oh yeah, we are. But it's just nice to sometimes it's just nice to talk. So I got you.
To hear another voice besides the ones in your head. Well, I think you know what, Chad? I think we did a good job of delivering a little bit of laughs in the beginning.
Yeah.
And we stuck to a topic this time. And I'm not saying that this is going to be a podcast about music, about DIY music, about, you know, anecdotes that we have. But we're just still kind of figuring it out, getting a flow. And that's where you come in. Like, if you enjoy listening to us talk to each other, which is exactly what podcasts are, and you want to keep this going,
we need some affirmation.
Yeah, we really do.
Give me a,
that would be helpful.
Give me attention, would you?
We have an email address that we'd like you to email us at. What is it? Hoyweave?
Hoyweave at Gmail.
All right, put that in the description too, would you, Chad?
It is.
Cool. You the man.
Oh, yeah. It's you there. Got it. Just nobody's emailed us.
That's okay. Yeah, let us know if you're listening to this right now and you feel sorry for us.
If you're feeling a little cringy because you're listening to us and you feel bad for us.
Or you just generally want to know something. Send us an email. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Ask us questions. If you want advice. Anything. Just literally just email us. We would love it.
We like, would.
Yeah.
I do a lot of Cam. So Cam does the editing. I do the other stuff, which I guess is kind of like the media kind of side.
Yes, Chad's the media bully.
Yeah, and so, I'll get those emails. So,
and I'll read them too if we get any. I would hope Chad would say, "Hey, we got an email," and I'm gonna
log in there and read them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I need to tell you the password, by the way. So the password for the email?
Don't. That was a good bit.
Yeah, thanks.
Good bit, good bit.
You know, they say the best thing about a bit is when you point out that it was a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that was a good bit, too, right there.
Wait, is your... What is lavishly random at AOL.com?
That is old, and I don't have access to that anymore.
Why is that what is it Cameron B. Weaver? Is that what I'm looking?
Cameron.B.Weaver@gmail.com.
Okay, sorry, I'm forwarding you those scratches.
Oh, shit.
Right now, because I just thought about it.
I put my personal email out onto the internet in the form of this podcast, so all six of you now know my personal email account.
Oh, whoa. All two of you.
Okay, no. Sorry. So if both of you send me dick pics,
I'm going to put them on my Instagram.
Yeah. Jordan, we've already seen your dick. So.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for listening to episode 2. You're the only person who did. You're a real trooper, and I love you so much.
I know. Literally, Jordan's the only person to listen to this whole thing, and that's why I love Jordan.
Yeah, he's the best. He's such a good friend.
Yeah.
He's such a good friend. He's like...
Shouts in a row. For Jordan. Two episodes, bro.
I agree. I love that kid.
Yeah.
I think that's going to wrap it up for episode 2 of the Dad Bondcast. Chad, thanks so much for sticking with me for an hour and a half while I figured out how to record it.
Yeah, it was literally hell, but I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah, I'm glad. It was fun in a way. That it worked, since it worked out, it ended up being okay.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you all for listening to this. If you did, send us an email so we know that you did. Otherwise,
we're going to think that you clicked right on out of this as soon as you started it.
Yeah, so, I'm Chad. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Well, don't find me on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chad Hoy. You can even have me on Snapchat. Don't, but it's Chad Hoy too. And Cam, plug your things.
I'm on Twitter at LavinousCam2. That's LavinousCam and the number 2. And you can find me on Instagram and Snapchat at LavinousCam. No number 2 on that one. Also, be looking out for Chad's music if you do like, you know, independent music. Oh, go check out Chad Hoy. Also, go check out staircasewitmusic.com. That's my stuff. If you hate it, you it's okay.
Don't email us.
Yeah. If you hate it, you can email my personal account at cameron.b.weaver@gmail.com and go ahead and send your hate that way. That's okay. Music is subjective, just like a lot of things. But yeah, if you do want to listen, it's staircasewithmusic.com. And that's it. I feel really gross now for plugging. I never knew what that felt like, and it's real bad.
No, it's good. I mean, we talked about me the whole time. I'm glad that you talked about you.
Well, people love you, and I love you, Chad.
Cam, I love you too.
Thanks so much.
Love, and people will love you. When our podcast is famous, mark those words.
Episode 2, we set the bar real high.
Thank you for listening to the Dad Podcast. This is Chad Hoy.
And I'm Cameron. Bye-bye.